We bless your name this morning, and Father, it's our prayer today as we come to your holy, sacred word, your words that you spoke that bring us life, that bring us eternal life. God, that you would move us out of the way, move me out of the way. God, only let my speech be what you want me to say. Only let our ears hear what you want us to hear. God, I pray that our hearts would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit so that we might grow to become closer, more like Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd remove all the barriers and distractions in our hearts and minds. And God, I pray that you bless your people this morning with the power of your holy word. God, we give you all the praise and all the honor, all the glory. And we say hallelujah, highest praise to you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 15 today. We're going to be talking about the idea of wanting relief from idols without repentance. And I think all of us can relate to that in some ways where the things in our life that we run to other than God, our escapes, they end up biting us in the end. And then when they bite us or we get ourselves into a tough spot or a tough space, we kind of come to God with a halfway repentance sometimes. And I know I have. And God, if you just take this away, you know, I promise that I'm going to do this. I'm going to change. And then God brings some relief. And then I go right back to it again. And we find Pharaoh in that position in this text of Scripture today. So we're going to talk about frogs today. Anybody in here like frogs? I have a few frog jokes. I just couldn't pass this one up. An old man picked me up, the frog said, and I told him, "Kiss me and I'll turn into a princess." The old man took the frog, stuck it back in his pocket, said, and the frog said, "Aren't you going to kiss me?" He said, "I'm 85 years old. I'd rather have a talking frog." Frog joke number two. Why do frogs make great baseball players? You know, anybody know? They always catch a fly. Frogs, frogs, and more frogs. I think humorously back to when I was in grade school, was in a private Christian school, and the desks were faced towards the wall, and we kind of did our individual work. And I would work ahead and get kind of bored in the class, and I would finish my work ahead of time. And so what did I do? I made frog noises. And I hope Mrs. Miller and Mrs. Savola is not going to be watching this today, but I would wait for a quiet moment, then I'd go. They never caught me. They never figured out who was doing their. And I hope I don't do that while I'm preaching this morning. So, now I do know I'm in trouble, probably because my mother and father will probably watch this. So, in any case, when we come to this text of Scripture, I want to give you a little bit of background so we can understand it. It's not just a plague of frogs. Anything that God does is always with a specific purpose. So this is probably one of the most comical plagues as we read in Scripture. And I want to read that, and then I'm going to give you the background. But the chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "Then the Lord said to Pharaoh," or to Moses, excuse me, "Go in to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house, into your bedroom, and on your bed, and into the houses of your servants and your people, and into your ovens, into your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you, and on your people, and on all your servants.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, "Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Now I want you to notice there, this time Pharaoh knew the name of God. He knew who he was. And then Moses said to Pharaoh, "Be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile." And he said, "Tomorrow." Moses said, "Be as it you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord your God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile." So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs, and as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. So being one of the funniest plagues, I mean, can you imagine your house and your bed and your Dorito bowl and your chips and out of your cereal boxes and in your refrigerator? Those guys got everywhere. But you see, the Egyptians worshipped a goddess called Heket, and her husband was called Khnum, hopefully I said that, or Noom. And he was believed by the Egyptians to be the god who would fashion their bodies on the potter's wheel. And Heket, this picture here is depicted, is a goddess that had a head of a frog. So they believe their life came from this goddess that had a frog. And doesn't God have a sense of humor? They believed that this goddess would breathe the breath of life in them. She was viewed by the Egyptians as the goddess of life-giving power and fertility. This goddess was pictured as having this head and body of a frog. And as a result of that, Egyptians held the frog sacred and would not kill a frog. So, you know, it's kind of like some cultures today that won't kill cows because they use the phrase sacred cow. They had sacred frogs. They would not kill a frog. And so the Egyptians, this goddess had two main jobs. First of all, she was to control the frog population by keeping the crocodiles in the Nile River alive because they ate the frogs. And the other was to assist women in childbirth. And none of us men can understand the extremities and the difficulties of childbirth. But any woman in here can tell you it is a difficult process and it is nerve-wracking and you don't know what's going to happen. And so they relied on this goddess to get them through pregnancies. God was showing the Egyptians that their idols that they worship and they revered would actually become a destructive nuisance in their lives. And God demonstrated that this goddess really had no control over the frogs at all. And the stench where the swarms of frog died, it was a clear reminder of her lack of life-giving power. And every frog that invaded the homes of the Egyptians was God demonstrating that he is God Almighty and that their idols are really a pain in the butt and of no use. So there's many things in our life that we run to for comfort, relief, believing that they have the power to give us life and happiness. However, the very things that we revere and worship above God will only end up invading our personal space, our time, our emotions, our mind, and wreak havoc in our lives. And when our idols let us down, we typically run to God as Pharaoh did, begging for relief. But the question is, when God brings the relief, do we want just relief of the consequences of sin so that we can feel good again and return to our addictions? Or do we want relief so that we can turn to the living God and rely on Him? So we're going to take a look at this passage today and break that down and see what we can learn from that. What real repentance looks like. Number one, I want to first off point out that the pleasures that come from idols and addictions are only temporary. The things that we turn to don't last. It's a thrill that does not last. And when he opens up and God comes and confronts Pharaoh and Egypt again, he thought everything was going to be okay. You know, the blood, the water turned to blood, and now that went back to normal. And so now he's settled in, and so Moses goes to him again and says, God is going to plague. Your temporary feeling of happiness through the gods that you worship is not going to last. The happiness that comes from our idols will soon fade because of the consequences of our misplaced worship. And so when you worship someone or something that God didn't design us to worship, eventually it's going to bring about pain and hurt in our lives. Happiness that comes from our idols and addictions is vain, and we will soon be failed by them. Now, I want to just put a side note on this, given the Sanctity of Life Sunday was a few Sundays ago, but we were home because of the ice. But do you remember what Pharaoh enacted back in chapter 5 with the Hebrew midwives who helped the Hebrew women give birth? He said, I want you to turn your birth centers into abortion clinics and kill all the firstborn males. Do you remember that? They did that, throw them in the river and drown them. This was a direct judgment of God, an attack on the frog goddess who was believed to help the Egyptian midwives. And so we can see that. So some people even today will make a sacrifice to the goddess of fertility and abort their children for reasons of inconvenience and a child not developing properly. And there's all other areas in our life too that we relate to that as well, because our addictions feel good at the moment. The things that I run to feel good in the moment. Examples, we're in a society and a culture that basically tells us to live by our feelings. And President Trump, in his inauguration day, made a strong and bold statement and said that there are only two genders, male and female. So if you're born with male body parts, you're a male. If you're born with female body parts, you're a female. You're not an animal. You're not something in between. You're not something that can switch. That would be like, and I always use this example, and people don't like it, but when I woke up this morning and I just feel like I want to soar like an eagle. So I'm going to get some of Tanya's chickens and pull some of the feathers out. I'm going to put in my arms, and I'm going to go in a 20-story building and jump and soar over the city of Charleston and Taze Valley. What would you say, and where would you put me? You'd put me in the crazy bin, wouldn't you? Yeah. So you see, you know, even these things, like simple things like gender, it is a trick of the enemy to make us act on how we feel. You might be a boy with boy parts and sometimes feel like a girl. You might be a woman and sometimes feel like a boy, but those are just feelings. Those will pass. That's not logic, that's not common sense, and that's not science. But here's the thing. When we operate outside of the way God created us to be, these pleasures that come from idols only end up in pain. Now studies are coming about, and since Europe is ahead of us and Great Britain is ahead of us, for those that have tried to have gender surgeries and change themselves into something else, have a high rate of suicide. It ends with pain and trouble and destruction of the body. It's mutilation of the body. And so that translates. So God's whole plan and purpose is to bring people away from destructive harm, which was what God was trying to do with the Israelites by saying, I want to bring the people out of slavery to worship me. But he was also speaking to Pharaoh in Egypt too. You guys are worshiping gods that are going to bring nothing but destruction in your life. It's kind of like when you see an apple and you're hungry and you say, wow, that's a perfect, juicy, red apple, and you get it and you just about take a bite and you turn it around and you find this. the temporary pleasures of this world. It's like, well, I'm depressed, so I'm going to go post a bunch of stuff on social media and hope that I get a whole bunch of likes. Or, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to rely on my friends, and then your friends will let you down. The apple looks good on one side, but these are temporary pleasures that don't last. See, the pleasures that come from idols are only temporary. I want to read a scripture, and here's why God, this is so important to God. This is why God said, I'm going to release frogs. And Isaiah 42:8, he says, I'm the Lord, that is my name, my glory I will give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. He says, I'm not going to give my glory to this frog goddess. Just not going to do it. Because he's a jealous God, but in his jealousy, we often think of jealousy as a bad thing, but his kind of jealousy is to save us from destruction, from self-harm. And so Exodus 20, when he gives the Ten Commandments, he spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath the earth or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You see what God was doing? He's like, my children are here. I'm taking them out of Egypt because I want them to worship me alone. I don't want them worshiping all these other gods that are going to bring destruction in their life. The frog god, the god of the Nile that we talked about last week, and or a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago. And so it goes from there. Number two, whoever or whatever we worship rather than God will eventually result in destruction and chaos. Did you notice in verse 3 on down, of how the frogs invaded their private space? And I want to point out, remember the previous plague? What did Pharaoh do? Does anybody remember what he did when Moses turned the water into blood and then his magicians did the same thing, but they couldn't reverse it? What did he do? He went and said, talk to the hand, and he went in his bedroom and hid. He's like, I'm not going to look at my water fountain in the kitchen or the sink. You know, I'm not going to look at the Nile River that turned to blood. I don't want to see it. He just basically turned his back and ignored and went in. But this time, the frogs came into the homes. There was no place for Pharaoh to hide from it. You see what God was doing here. See, the addictions or the things that we worship bring destruction and chaos into our homes, into the most private places of our lives, into the place where we're supposed to have rest, and it affects us mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritual. It enters into our social life. It enters into our school and career. So I want to say the things that God says that are destructive, if you let those in, they will wreak havoc in your life. It could be in our health, even the basic necessities of life, our physical diet, our mental, emotional, and spiritual. I mean, these frogs were getting into their bread bowls, into every part of your life. And remember, they really didn't want to kill the frogs. So you, in what, how many, do you know what happens when you touch a frog or pick up a frog? It just gets worse. They urinate on you. So can you picture this mess that the Egyptians were having? This is your, God is saying, this is your goddess. This is who you're worshiping, a created thing. But the one true God is Yahweh, and He is the Lord. Whoever or whatever we worship will eventually result in destruction and chaos. And then we can look throughout our lives, you know, we see, and I've been in, just from being in ministry in different churches and observing and seeing things, and even things in my own life, when difficulties come as a result of our addictions or the things that we fall into, Now, some of you might have experienced this in your life. You might have kids that come to you, and their addictions bring harm into your household, in your physical well-being, in your emotional well-being, because they all of a sudden reach a point, wow, I'm destroying my life. Who can bail me out? Mom and Dad. So I'm going to go to Mom and Dad. I got myself in a tough financial. I can't pay the rent, or I can't do this, or I can't do it, because they spent it on all the other things that they weren't supposed to. And then what do you do as parents? A lot of times it's so, oh, wow, I don't want them living on the street. I don't want them doing this. And you give them something. And what happens immediately after you give it? After they do God talk, like God's really working in my life, and God is doing this, and God is doing that, and they go right back to the same thing again. And that's exactly what Pharaoh did. Pharaoh gave him rest. And I think the reason why he gave him respite there is why he was doing that is because he was teaching him step by step. Because by this point, Pharaoh learned God's name. And this point, Pharaoh knew who he was supposed to go to when there was a problem. I want to read a psalm, Psalm 115. It says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but your name gives glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Or 'Our God is in the heavens.' He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but they don't walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat." Remember that picture of that frog goddess, can't even make a sound. "Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them." Now think about that for a moment. Let that process. I had to think about that. Think about that. When he's talking about these idols, what did it just say? What do they describe? The best students are sitting over here this morning, right? So, what do these idols do? What can't they do? Yeah, they can't speak. They can't talk. They can't move. It literally brings paralysis or freezes them up. What does he say here in this text? He says, those that make them become like them, so all to do trust in them. You know, the things that we love, the things that take us away from God, the relationships that take us away from God, really freeze us up. They paralyze our spiritual life. They keep us from being all that God has meant for us to be in his life. Jeremiah 10 says their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. They can't speak. They have to be carried. They can't walk. What do you think would happen to Tanya if I just decided I just don't feel like walking anymore and I don't feel like talking anymore, and so you're going to have to carry me around everywhere? Uh-huh. Did you hear that? She said, "I would be in one place sitting." Whether it's drugs, whether it's other things, vaping, food addictions, it will keep you seated in your place. It will freeze up your life when we worship anything other than the living God who brings life. But here's the thing, we don't have to be afraid of them, those idols. They cannot do evil, neither can they do good. There is none like you, O God. You are great and your name is great. So the problem is not the idol itself. The problem is our worship of it. The problem is of our addictive behaviors. So there it goes. So whoever and whatever we worship rather than God will eventually result in destruction. Number three, relief from our idols and addictions can only come from God. And this is the beautiful thing here. Remember the last time Pharaoh just went in his room and shut the door. What did he do this time, according to verse 8? Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and he said, "Plead to the Lord for me. Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me, and I will let my people go." And then what did Moses and Aaron do? They went and prayed, and God answered. So there's a few things I want to point out here. One, although Pharaoh's magicians conjured up frogs copying God's miracle, Pharaoh wasn't impressed this time because he knew the magicians did not have the power to take the plague away as the living God of Moses did. And so God deals with Pharaoh, and as a hardened unbeliever, he could not pray, but he did now know who could change his circumstances. And so when we're dealing with our own stubborn hearts or people that are dealing with addictions in our families, we need to realize they can acknowledge God, but it does not mean the heart is changed. But here's the thing. One of the beautiful things that I see over the years in churches is that God mercifully grants his people the gift of pleading. And that word plead in the Hebrew means to burn incense in worship, or in other words, to intercede, which is reciprocal listening and talking in prayer. So do you know when you pray, it's not just you talking to God? We need to listen to him. And the main way we listen to him is through his word. He's given us revelation by which we can live by. So prayer is a back and forth thing. And God gives his people, those that believe on the name of Jesus, the gift of intercession, of prayer. And it says Moses cried to the Lord. And that word means to proclaim, to cry out loud, to cry out for help. God has given us that gift as believers. So, what happens when our idols eat us up? When the frogs get in our bread bowls, when they get into our bedrooms, when they hop on us, the only person that we know that can bring true relief is to turn to God in prayer. Unfortunately, at this point, Pharaoh still did not turn to God. He pretended to turn to God, but he really didn't. And I love how God loves to answer the prayers of his people, and he demonstrated that through Moses and Aaron in this place when they cried out. And you want to notice even further in verse 10, just so Pharaoh knew that this was a miracle that came from God and it wasn't just the circumstance, he said, "You set the time that this miracle is going to happen, and we'll ask God, and God will do it at that time." Just so there's no doubt that God did this miracle, God loves to answer the prayers of his people. Pharaoh now knew God's name. He knew the divine miracles come from God, and that he was almost in a sense admitting that God had the power over all creation in this section. Number four, relief only lasts when a person truly repents and turns to Jesus Christ. Now, when we look in verse 14 and 15, they had these frogs that died, and God answered the prayer, but then there was a problem because our sin stinks, and there's always consequences to our sin. Can you imagine? It says the frogs covered the land. Covered the land. And then imagine them all dying all at once. It was, a stench throughout the Egyptian land. And then they were piling it up in heaps, it says. And I want to point out, first of all, that God has the power and the desire to demonstrate his love and mercy and bring relief, just as he did to Pharaoh, and just as he will do for you and I, just as he will do for your loved ones. God brings relief so that people will know that there is no one like Yahweh. There is no idol or addiction that can outdo God. God brought this situation about to show the Egyptian people and the Israelites that don't settle for this lesser contrived frog god. Turn to the living God. But here's what I also want to point out that Pharaoh did. What did Pharaoh do? He said in verse 8, plead with the Lord. And then he said, what did he say? Right out of his mouth, he says, I will let the people go and sacrifice to the Lord. Did he do it? He didn't do it yet. So making a false promise is not true repentance, nor is asking others to pray. So I know you, just in each and every one of your lights, as God is working even this morning and through the Holy Spirit, we all know the things that we struggle with in our hearts, the things that we're dealing with. And there's a difference between true repentance and false repentance. The false repentance says, I swear I'm never going to do it again. And God, if you just take the consequences away, this mess I got myself into, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But guess what? We can't. We can't. Because it's only through the power of Jesus Christ, and it's only turning to Him that can change and transform our lives. It's putting our faith and trust when Jesus died on the cross in our place for our sins. He said, it is finished, He says, and it means paid in full. It's not till we put our faith and trust in Him. And even when you have done that, as believers, we spend the rest of our life putting our faith and trust in Jesus. When I start to fall into my addictions and my habits, I need to come back again, put my faith and trust in Jesus. When I start saying, well, I'm going to try to reform myself, I'm going to try to change, I'm going to try to quit. No, the answer is going back to Jesus, because Jesus has the power to forgive our sins, but He has the power to help us to live a holy life. You're not going to be able to live your life when you go to college or when you get out of school and without God's power. You can't do it on your own. So it's turning to God for His help, His power. Wanting to escape the pain and destruction of addictions of idols is not repentance either. So this can help us help our family members, especially dealing with drug or alcohol addictions. And that brings a lot of pain, and it brings a lot of health problems. It brings financial crisis. It brings all these sorts of things. But just wanting to escape the pain is not going to change. That's not true repentance. Pharaoh's like, these frogs are an inconvenience when I go to bed at night. Let's make them go away. Repentance is not just cleaning out your house. I'll say, let's get all the frogs out. All right, let's get all these sins out of my life. Okay, they're gone. The next thing you know, they're right behind me. And they came back with many, many more. Repentance is not just cleaning out our house, but it's turning from idols and turning to Jesus Christ. It's making a decision to say, you know, it's a U-turn. And that's what repentance is. It's a change of mind. Like, you know, I'm using these things to calm myself down, or I'm using these things to bring peace and happiness in my life. Well, repentance is realizing, wait a minute, these things are doing nothing but bringing destruction in my life. It's turning around and say, God, Your way is far better. We have a God who wants the best for each and every one of our lives. And so repentance, true repentance, is when we're convicted that we've offended a holy God. And was Pharaoh convicted there? Do you see any conviction? Do you guys see any conviction or sadness? Like, I've offended this God. No, he was more worried about the frogs in his soup than he was the one holy God that he's offended. So it's turning from our sin away from it and turning to Jesus Christ. And did you notice there's a word there? As soon as Pharaoh in verse 15, he says there was respite. And that word simply means relaxation and breathing. So when God forgives us, you have a feeling of respite, right? So then what are we going to do with that respite? Is it going to be to turn to God in gratitude and I want to serve you more? Or is it going to be, well, now that I got rest, I don't feel guilty anymore, I'm going to go right back to those things when a bad day comes? Do you remember how the Israelites complained that Moses had made them stink in the sight of Pharaoh? Chapter 5, verse 21. Isn't it ironic now that Egypt had become a stench before God, with the piles and piles of frogs in the land? So our sin stinks like a dead pile of frogs. And when you experience a moment of relief through God's love and mercy and destruction and chaos of your idols and addictions, will you harden your heart and return to them or run to Jesus Christ in gratitude and worship Him? It's as simple as if you're in your home and mom and dad tell you not to do something and you get on timeout or something, or they take away your iPad or your iPhone or whatever it is that you love and you can't live without. And then you're sitting there and you're like behaving so well, right? So I want to get my iPad back. And then what happens when peace comes and mom and dad give you the iPad back? Are you going to start acting crazy again? Disobeying your parents? So this is the difference. That's a Pharaoh kind of repentance. But the repentance that God gives us as a gift is to turn to Jesus Christ and have a change of mind and going in another direction. So when you experience the consequences of your sin, are you sorry or angry or embarrassed that you got caught and hopes it just goes away? Are you willing to accept the consequences and turn to Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but I've experienced a lot of "I'm sorry I got caught" in my life. And that's not repentance. Repentance is, well, I got caught, but I've offended a holy God. This God who loves me so much and wants to be in a friendship with me, who wants what's best for me in my life. It means a change of mind. And I want to read one story that Jesus told in response to the Pharisees who said they were trying to trick Jesus. And so Jesus tells them this parable. He says, "What do you think? Man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.'" He was honest. "Don't want to do it." But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said to the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him." Excuse me. "And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." That's repentance. So you get that? The first guy says, "I'm not going to go." But then he went. The second guy said, "Yes, I'm going. And he decided not to go. That's what real repentance is. So I want to leave you today with these things. Learning from the plague of frogs. The pleasures that come from idols and addictions are just temporary. Whoever and whatever we worship more than God, above God, will eventually result in destruction and chaos. Know that, even though it feels good and it might seem to fix the problem momentarily. Relief from our idols and addictions can only come from God. And relief only lasts when a person truly repents and turns to Jesus Christ. So if you forget everything, remember what repentance is. It's a change of mind, change of direction, turning from trusting in my idols, turning from trusting in myself and what I think it should be, and turning to Jesus Christ and say, "I need help, I need your power, I need your transforming work in my life." I would like to ask the worship team would come if we would bow our hearts before the Lord this morning. God, we thank you for your word, and through this comical moment of frogs, you taught all the Egyptians, all the Israelites, and for thousands of years later, all of us, that you only are our source of happiness. You only are our source of life-giving power. Yahweh, true God and King of the universe, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus, for dying in our place for our sins, and rising again from the grave. And Lord, I pray that you would empower every person in this room to turn away from our habits and turn and put our trust in you. And Lord, I pray, you know how stubborn I am. You know how stubborn our hearts are and the difficulties that we face with our various addictions and pains in our life. So we ask you, God, for help. Lord, lead us away from trusting in ourselves and these things and these people. And enable us by the power of your Spirit to put our trust in you. God, that's our prayer today. And I pray that you bless your people with the strength and the humility to come and turn around and go towards you. And to make choices every day to go. To leave Egypt. To leave the frogs behind. And go and worship you, God, in the wilderness where there is nothing else but you. No one else but you. God, we pray for a spiritual wilderness in our life so that you're the only one that's there. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.